This episode of A Deeper Dive is brought to you by SoftTech. As a leading nearshore digital services provider, SoftTech helps the hospitality industry scale digital operations through their product-centric Agile Pods and offers a low-fee, omnichannel, white-labeled online ordering platform. Learn more about how SoftTech creates value through technology at softtech.com/deeperdive.
How does a restaurant chain become a tech company? Hello, this is Jonathan Mays, Editor-in-Chief of Restaurant Business, and in this week's episode of A Deeper Dive, I speak with Dennis Maloney, Chief Innovation Officer with Domino's Pizza, to talk about just that. You all know Domino's story. It was struggling 13 years ago, upgraded its pizza recipe, turned sales around, used a series of technology upgrades and store remodels to generate 10 years of consistent quarterly same-store sales growth, and is now the biggest pizza chain on the planet. Maloney talks about the company's effective use of technology and what it takes to have a culture of innovation and how that culture helped Domino's succeed. We also talk robots, including Domino's ongoing partnership with Neuro, the subject of a new ad campaign featuring the pizza chain's famous Noid character. Dennis talks about how soon you may see that robot at your front door with a pizza. Please have a listen. But first, let me plug Restaurant Business memberships. Members of RB Online can get access to premium content and exclusive information featuring data from our sister company, Technomic. An All Access membership comes with access to the National Restaurant Show. We also have enterprise memberships for your entire company. For a free trial, use the code MAZE21, that's M-A-Z-E-2-1, to get a free trial. Now, here's Dennis Maloney. Okay, I am here with Dennis Maloney. Dennis, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Jonathan. Nice to meet you. Thanks for having me.
Super. Well, thank you for being here. I guess my first question is, when am I going to have a robot delivering my pizza?
Probably sooner than you believe, actually. You know, the question of whether or not robots or autonomous vehicles are going to ever deliver pizza has now been answered. It is going to happen. The question is now when, and it's not going to be as long as people think.
Really? Actually, that was a trick question, Dennis. I'm a carryout customer, so the answer really is never. Actually, I probably have to try it to see what it's like. So, I mean, I guess one of the questions, like, because you've been testing this stuff for a long time, could you talk a little bit about what are the things that you have to work through just generally, if you can?
You're right. We've been working on it with a couple of different partners now over a couple of years. And as you can imagine, like getting an autonomous vehicle to deliver a pizza is not a simple thing. So, you know, there's a ton of work, not just in the autonomous vehicle portion, but also in the process for the consumers from a pizza perspective. So that's our side. So that's the piece that we've been trying to figure out. And there's lots to learn there. Like there's, you know, a lot of very complex systems that you're trying to connect together. So, you know, how do you connect the consumer's ordering experience with the Domino's ordering platform with the autonomous vehicle partner, which is for us right now, Neuro, right? So a lot of communication going back and forth, all of which obviously has to be perfect. And that's the, well, you know, that's the piece we're trying to learn. Because if you can figure that part out, all the rest of it makes a ton of sense.
Yeah. Is there are there issues that you have to deal with sort of on a community perspective, like sort of like a local regulatory perspective? And I'll tell you why I asked this. My wife is an urban planner. Okay. So, and she's a long range urban planner. And if I mention the phrase, if I just say the phrase autonomous vehicles, I will probably get a 15-minute lecture about how that's a long way off. Because of a regulatory environment, all the things that you have to start really considering when we want to start talking about a future in which nobody's driving and we have other things. Are there some certain things that you have to, that you've like, that you've had to look at from a, you know, looking at the local regulations, anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, there are so many variables. You're right. Like there's, you know, everything from safety to insurance to, you know, street planning to parking to, like, it's crazy. There is a lot of things that are going to go on and have to be thought out as autonomous vehicles start to really hit the scene. Mm-hmm. Right now, we're just focused on trying to figure out if we can even make it work, right? These, like most technologies, this is advancing really, really quickly. Those problems are going to solve themselves. A lot of people are spending a lot of time and energy trying to figure out the answers to those questions. And we're relying on them that all that piece will get figured out. We do the pizza part. So that's the piece that we're is kind of our special sauce. And that's what we'll be doing.
Is there like what do you think are the potential benefits to having something like Neural, working on it?
I'll be honest, like right now, our stores are struggling to have enough drivers to be delivering the number of pizzas that we could be making on an ongoing basis, right? Finding enough employees that are able to work when all the orders are coming in during the rush, it's a challenge. It's always been a challenge. We always need more drivers, right? The ability to kind of put a autonomous vehicle in the mix of that equation, right? And this is not about replacing our drivers. Like we have way more volume than we can possibly do from a driver's perspective. So if you could get a couple of neuro robots delivering pizza out of a store, that's a huge help, and we'll take it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Were the company's fortressing strategy sort of help with that? Because I'd imagine that you're sort of, the neuro is a little bit limited on how far it can go, isn't it?
It is an electric vehicle, right? So it's charged off of batteries. It is designed to last a pretty good amount of time. So we think it'll make it through most of a day, most of the time, which is great. But the more stores we have, the shorter delivery distances for any one consumer anywhere within that delivery area. So shorter distances means longer life or more deliveries for the robot. And then that technology just continues to advance also at a phenomenal rate, right? So, the capacity or the total distance that a bot can go now is going to be completely different than what it's going to be 2, 3, 4, or 5 years from now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you foresee a situation in which you're going to have more robots inside the restaurants out besides just the delivery robot? Or is that something that Domino's wants to shy away from a little bit?
Right now, we pride ourselves on making good handmade quality pizza at a fair value price. And that's really who we are as a brand, right? There's definitely a risk of commoditizing pizza to the point where it becomes undifferentiable from different brands. And really, that's probably not where we're looking to differentiate ourselves, right? We're, we look on using technology across the entire pizza making experience and pizza ordering experience. So everything from when the consumer goes online thinking about ordering pizza until the point where the pizza actually arrives at the customer's house. There's a lot of places in the space of that entire experience to use technology to create a better consumer experience. The pizza making process, we think that's something that is really, it needs a human touch. It's you're making a customer's food. There's a part of that, which we think is really important from a branding perspective.
Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of places that have started implementing different technologies inside the restaurants. Honestly, if you just go to Costco and look at it, they use a lot of mm-hmm. automation. You see it through the window of how they make their pizza, but you're saying that you want to continue to, people still have to make the crust and things like that. And you're not going to hand that over to the robot.
Yeah. That's not high on our list of things to try and tackle right now. At some point there might be some places where automation makes sense within the actual four walls of the restaurant. But we think it's important still to have a person actually involved in that pizza making process.
So how else, if you can't tackle that particular process, are there other things just generally speaking that could potentially be done to improve the efficiency inside the restaurant without actually looking at that sort of thing?
Wow. If you think of all the things that happen inside of a restaurant in order to make a restaurant work, right? Everything from back-end systems to the logistics of scheduling pizza, to the logistics of scheduling people and where they're working, how they're working, even the order you make specific products, what products do you wait to make because that driver is not available? What products do you make instantaneously because a customer is on their way? Those types of things, really personalizing the internal logistics of a store to really create great consumer experiences, right? So like when you walk into a store now, a Domino's Pizza, right? We have processes that will allow the store to know, like if you check in, They know you're coming in the store. They can greet you by name. They can have your food ready. It is literally a handoff. You walk in the door, they hand you your food. They say, "Hey, Jonathan, have a great day." And boom, you're gone again, right? Like, that's an amazing experience if you can do that type of stuff. There's so many places where technology can play a role as part of those, you know, tweaking of the experiences as they're happening in real time, that we're really feel like we're just getting started.
Really? Yeah. So is it, I mean, how much of your work is being done right now also on the carryout consumer, people like me?
Actually, a lot. So in the last year, you know, obviously with the pandemic, we almost instantaneously, as the pandemic and COVID started to hit, we added the ability for almost, well, effectively all of our stores to be able to deliver pizza out to the parking lot as what we call a carside delivery, right? So that meant enabling all the ordering platforms, connecting together all the technology in the store, giving the customer the way to tell the store that, hey, it arrived, and then have that that team member bring the food out to your car and place it wherever you want within the car, right? A lot of brands took months to try and figure that out. And we rolled that out, you know, in the space of weeks. Those are the types of technology things from a flexibility standpoint that really create great consumer experiences. And we don't think that's going away, right? What customer doesn't want to just pull up into a parking lot, hit a button, say, "I'm here," and literally have almost like valet service, bring your pizza out to your car and hand it to you, right? And do it in the less time that it would take you to go and drive through a drive-thru. Mm-hmm. Right? That's incredibly powerful. That's a consumer experience that can differentiate the brand forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of your competitors is starting drive-thrus. When you ever foresee a time in which you might actually end up taking that step, or do you have drive-thrus and I just don't know?
We do have drive-thrus. You know, there's, I think close to 1,000 drive-thrus in our network now. Really? Right. And they play a role along with what we call carside delivery. So, you know, it's going to depend on giving the consumer the choice to get the experience they want. In some stores, it makes sense to go through a drive-through. The store is positioned in the right place, either within a restaurant row or as a freestanding store, and a drive-through is something you can do. But a lot of our stores, you know, we have parking lots, but we don't have a drive-through, and a carside delivery creates literally as good of an experience for the customer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I want to ask you this question. I mean, a lot of the things that we get now or we're seeing right now is a lot of restaurants sort of want to get to a point where they're creating a digital organization, an organization that is a lot more digital friendly. And that became a need over the past year plus, where that's just what customers, you know, really gravitated very, very heavily towards mobile apps and online. It seems to me that it's actually a fair bit of work, and takes, especially a big restaurant chain of any size, it takes a long time to get to a point where they can actually be really digital friendly. Am I wrong on that front?
Oh, you're definitely not wrong. So at Domino's, we've been working on it for over a decade. So when we really, you know, in 2010, we kind of relaunched the brand. So, you know, we relaunched a new food product, new crust, new sauce, you know, the whole nine yards. At the same time, we also started our digital journey with a very specific goal of basically digitally transforming the company. And we've been working on it now for 12 years, right? And luckily, you know, we had some of that history and those muscles already built up when things really started going crazy last year.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, yeah, it must have helped you guys out quite a bit because, yeah, I mean, that's, I think that, you know, Rich has mentioned that like carry out sales diminished because people really didn't want to, you know, walk inside the restaurant. Delivery became really, really important last year. And then, of course, as we all know, that people ordered just a lot more delivered pizza.
Yeah, it was crazy. You know, we like to think of ourselves as being one of a fast innovators in the technology space. And when you were talking at the beginning of last year, we were innovating at a speed that was 2-4x faster than what we've normally done. And that wasn't even just like a couple of stores. We were pushing stuff out to our entire system, literally on every 2 weeks. It was completely crazy how fast stuff was changing. Consumers were changing, their behaviors were changing. our own store systems and operating systems were changing, rules and regulations were changing. I mean, everything was open and was basically just, it was complete chaos. Everything was changing all at the same time.
Yeah. I'm not sure it's done changing either.
Yeah, me neither. Actually, no, it's been a busy year.
No, I was, we were talking this morning. As far as I'm concerned, that the obviously the pandemic is not over. It's still a real problem in a lot of places. But like, you know, the broad consumer shift is a long ways away from settling to any sort of normal. And I don't really think anybody has any actual idea where it's going to settle. We're guessing. Nobody has any real clue because we've never seen anything like this before.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people with a lot of hypotheses, and we see some things moving in some directions, but we're not exactly certain where people are going to settle.
Mm-hmm. Do you still have people working out of the innovation garage, or how's that going right now?
So almost across the board, Domino's is still virtual. So all of our employees did work from home for the most of this time frame. There are some employees that are back in the office when we need them to, including the people that are working at, we call it the Dig, the innovation garage. Mm-hmm. And that space has been just fantastic. It basically has a complete pizza store built inside of it. That is totally modular. We can move it around. It's got lots of components that can be broken apart and reassembled. So it's great from an innovation perspective. We can test things, build something, test it, rejigger it, move it around, test it again. So it's been really fantastic.
Have you been able to, you haven't been able to use it that much though over the past year or?
Not as much as the year before. So mm-hmm. we do still test, it is luckily it's a big enough warehouse space that, you know, when we do have people in there testing, we can stay socially distanced. You know, it's got great ventilation. So it's a building we can use. We're not using it as much, but it is still getting a lot of use from an innovation perspective.
Have you seen any ideas come out that of that garage? Because I know it was, it's like really interesting. You have groups for, teams of people from different, different areas, different departments that work together to try to sort of build the dominoes of the future, so to speak. I mean, have we seen any real innovation coming out of that yet? Or?
Yeah, actually, all of the work around carside delivery was done out of that building.
Really?
Yeah. And in fact, we were doing tests when we were making pizza inside and running them out to cars that were in the parking lot through what is basically the innovation garage. So we have garage doors that we can open, and we had team members running in and out. We had customers and team members coming in and parking, and we were doing all sorts of prototype testing literally out of the Domino's innovation garage, which was great because that's exactly what it was built to do. So it was actually nice to see.
Yeah. So they're starting to, they've been running ads. Obviously, you know, those ads with the Noid, which is hilarious. Does that put any pressure on you guys to, get that robot stuff off the ground now that everybody knows about it? Or did you guys just get to a point where like, yeah, all right, it's time to really advertise this thing?
It was a really good opportunity to connect together two very important things for our brand. The Noid has been associated with the brand for decades. So it was a really good opportunity to bring him back as part of a campaign. And Neuro, which is really one of the big things moving forward that we see is going to be a massive step for the brand moving forward. Connecting those two things together in this really interesting way really was just completely brilliant. It was such an opportunity to connect what we think are going to be two very iconic things from the brand in a way that should get a lot of attention.
Mm-hmm. So as we look at like over the past, 12 years, the number of things that you guys have done, to make things, I mean, like you're testing the robot, obviously, but you know, you've made it so that I barely even have to open the app before I can to order a pizza. I can order on my television. I can order on watch. I can order on I don't know what else, any number of things. I suppose I could still phone the store, but I mean, when you look at something new and an innovation like that, can you talk a little bit about the principles that you're looking for in something that you think will work? I mean, how do you know an idea is going to take?
Ooh, you know, when it comes to innovation, I wish I knew the answer to always knowing what innovation was going to take. So when we figure that out, I'll let you know. Typically we do look for some things though. We look for things that are going to be a big enough consumer experience improvement that it's just not a gimmick, right? Like where we don't do innovation from a gimmick perspective, we do innovation because it moves the pizza experience forward from our consumers, right? So like when we were doing ordering using either Twitter or SMS or Dom Voice or any of the Anywhere platforms, right? It was really about trying to figure out, hey, look, there's all these technologies that are exploding everywhere and consumers are using them. People should be able to order pizza using whatever technology or whatever platform they're using. Okay, that seems like a logical kind of, you know, way to push the consumer experience forward. Interestingly, that got us to the point where, you know, with our zero-click ordering app, you can actually order a pizza without doing anything. Literally pushing the experience all the way to its natural conclusion, right? Like we are actually one click less than one very big company's, you know, one click ordering, right? Like you can open the app and it will just automatically place an order for you. And at the time, like when we submitted that to the Apple and Android stores, both of them were like, wait, you can't actually do that. We're like, well, why not? Like, well, we're not sure, but no one's ever tried that before. Like, I know that's the point, right? Like, people would walk into a pizza store from days of old and they'd walk in and they would know the pizza owner and they would just go, you know, give me my normal. I want my normal, right? And the zero click ordering app is basically taking that and putting it into the digital space and making it so simple to order pizza, right? So pushing the all the way to that farthest consumer experience from a benefit standpoint, right? And when we would do those types of things, well, one, we learn a lot about how those technologies work. But two, we learn what's really important from a consumer perspective, and then we can spin those components back into everything else we're doing, right? So, you know, that type of thinking is where you end up with car side delivery and the Pie Pass experience and the stuff we're doing in stores, right? And that's where those benefits are, is when you can really improve the consumer experience using technology, and the consumer sees it because they realize we're making their life easier, right? We're just trying to remove friction. Pizza's a fun food. Mm-hmm. Shouldn't be hard, right? You go online, create the pizza you want. It should appear almost magically, you know, and that's great. That's what we're trying to achieve.
Yeah. Was a directive at one point from Patrick Doyle to make it so easy to order from the app that you could just do it at like a stoplight or something like that?
Yeah. So, you know, we were constantly looking across the entire experience to try and figure out like, how do you remove pieces? Right? How do you remove steps from the ordering process online from the ordering platforms? How do you remove steps from, you know, going to pick it up, the pizza creating, the building process online? You know, when we originally started, we made customers go through the entire process, build their entire pizza, put in all their information every single time they came to one of the online ordering platforms. Mm-hmm. That's crazy, right? That was completely crazy. We were asking so much from our customers. And a decade later, all that is gone, right? It has been so streamlined. It's crazy. You're right. It's basically open the app, kind of think about what you want, and boom, it's basically on its way to you.
That easy order capability. I mean, it seems, especially if we look back at it now, it seems like really, really simple and maybe kind of obvious. I mean, it doesn't seem like it's really all that like advanced technologically. It seems pretty, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but it seems pretty relatively simple to me.
It's interesting because I'm sure you know, pizza is not that complicated a food, mm-hmm. right? Except it really is. You know, if you look at a regular Domino's store, the amount of customization that can be done on a pizza is completely insane. It's effectively infinitely customizable. And then being able to store that, which you're right, is a super simple idea, right? If people are coming in and they're building stuff, well, why can't I just save that and reuse it? Yeah, you're right. Yeah. That was like one of those things where you were like, well, wait, why can't we do that? And it turns out you can, right? So we were able to create really much simpler experiences using the saved easy order process, right? Without having to dumb down any of our experience. So using an easy order, you can build and save anything you've ever been able to order at a Domino's Pizza, right? And yet we can simplify the process down to one step.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, yeah, I guess the point on the customization of pizza, I never really thought about that, but you get like half cheese, half pepperoni. You might have, you know, more cheese, less cheese, more sauce, less sauce. And then like, I'm thinking about all the ways to order. And I mean, just, even if you just think of the, like the couple of different top, like the main toppings.
It is a very crazy math equation, actually, figuring that number out. And it is an astoundingly large number when you actually go through the math.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, but then that easy order has kind of enabled you guys to do so much with it.
Right.
Could you talk a little bit about that? Like what that's enabled? Like, I mean, it's a number of different innovations that have come forward since then.
So, you know, it's interesting. We look back over, you know, you look at those 12 years from 2010, and you can almost plot this kind of technology evolution from the consumer experience standpoint, right? At the beginning, it was just the ability to create a profile, right? Save a credit card, save your address, and then save an easy order, right? That then opened up a whole slew of additional capabilities, which was all the anywhere platforms. So order on your watch, in your car, through your TV, through Alexa, through Google Home, all the headless units, Facebook Messenger, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? Lots of opportunities there. And then all of that then continues to build as you go through, you know, simplifying the ordering experience down even more. So even when you're on our regular ordering platforms, right, things that used to take 25, 30 steps to do, you can now do in like 3 or 4, right? And that type of friction removing is great from a consumer experience standpoint. And then it just continues to build as it goes, right? It's what enables all sorts of things to in the store, pickup units, those types of things. There's lots of parts that are now coming on online now that connect together with all that.
Mm-hmm. So obviously you guys must try a lot of different things over there at Ann Arbor. Anything that you guys tried that just like failed miserably and that you learned from?
You know, we have failed on all sorts of things. We've also actually pivoted really well on a bunch of things. So, you know, one of the great things about failing is we learn something, and then, you know, probably about half the time we can pivot to something else that comes out of that learning. So that's great. You know, there's been some experiments that we've been doing with some of the, you know, automated AI voice stuff, which has not played out the way we were hoping. You know, probably half technology is not to the point where we need it to be yet. And mm-hmm. half, we just couldn't make the consumer experience work yet. Right. It's one of those technologies that I'm sure it's going to catch up eventually to what we've been trying to do. And then it'll be exactly what we need it to be. But so far we haven't been very successful with that.
Mm-hmm. So what's a rough percentage of you guys have it? It was about like 70% digital orders at this particular point.
I think we're now saying it's 75.
Oh, so 75%.
About 3/4. Yeah.
So how do you get to that 100%? I'd imagine at some point that's like a goal for you guys to get to 100%.
Yeah.
Where do you get?
We've had a number of pretty heated conversations around how high we actually think it will go. Mm-hmm. At some point, it may actually hit 100%. It's, you know, like most things, it's probably going to level off to, asymptotically to some level that's higher than 75, but not quite 100. We always think customers are going to want to call the store. You know, there's an aspect of being able to go through that human interaction that is very hard to match online. And then there's always going to be some customers that are going to walk into the store and actually order in person, right? So there's some percent there that'll always kind of peel off the top. Mm-hmm. But it's going to go higher than it is now. We already have markets around the world that are higher than that.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. That seems like, I mean, because it seems like a lot of, I mean, there are a lot of companies that have said, and I think you guys at some point maybe have said this, I might be wrong, that you want to get to 100%. Like that's an aspirational goal to get to 100% digital. But it also seems like, you know, especially maybe in the United States, almost impossible to get to if you really think about it, especially for the walk-in orders, unless you're going to, you know, unless you're going to go kiosk. Or something
right. Hard, really hard in the short term, very realistic in the long term. Right. And we continue to believe that the best consumer experience is actually one where they're interacting with us digitally. Mm-hmm. Right. It allows the consumer to have complete control over the entire process and the experience. They get, you know, visualizations of the product. They make sure everything is 100% correct. It really does deliver the best consumer experience. We're more than happy to take customers' phone orders and walk-in orders, right? Those are still great experiences, but the digital experience for us is really the premier experience that we would love everyone to use. At some point, it may get to 100, probably not in the near term.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess from my standpoint, I'm not sure. I personally can't understand why anybody in this day and age would want to call to order their pizza, but you know, I definitely can see that it continues to get done. I mean, to me, the pain point that mobile and digital ordering has brought to the pizza sector has ended. You know, that was a massive pain point, just calling the restaurant and ordering a pizza, and then you have to wait on hold, and then you're there, and the person is like literally with three phones on their ears, right, and stuff like that. It's insane to me.
Right. It was an experience that worked. I'm guessing it was never an optimal experience, right? Mm-hmm. Between team members just being super busy, just making pizzas, you know, busy signals, limited phones, having a hard time understanding or hearing people on the phone. Like, there's so many things that can go wrong for a phone order, and all that goes away in the digital mm-hmm. space.
Right. Right. Yeah, super. Well, this was fantastic. I really appreciate you joining me this week on the podcast.
Yeah, I really appreciated talking, and hopefully you get a chance to go and actually try a carside delivery if you haven't tried one yet.
Yeah, I haven't tried carside delivery, but I still, still walk in and get it. So I wear my mask and all that other stuff. So
all right. Well, hope to see you in a Domino's pizza soon.
And that should do it for this week's episode of A Deeper Dive, which was edited, as always, by the wonderful Kimberly Kazmarek, artwork by Nico Hines and Sarah Stewart. You may find this and other episodes of the podcast on our website at www.restaurantbusinessonline.com/article/deeper-dive. You may also subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and everywhere else you find podcasts. I'm Jonathan Mays, your host, podcast producer, and the editor-in-chief of Restaurant Business. Thank you for listening.
Hungry for fresh ideas? Visit softtech.com/deeper-dive for more details about how SoftTech helps the hospitality industry optimize IT operations, revenue, and elevate the guest experience across all order and pay channels with its low-fee, white-labeled restaurant platform. SoftTech, time to evolve.